everyone, and welcome to Borrowing Tape. My name is Nasi DeSandres, and I am here with Mari Walker, the director of See You Then, a drama about two women who reunite after a long absence and reminisce about their past together and present apart. See You Then is premiering at the 2021 South by Southwest Film Festival. Thank you for making time for us today, Mari.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So let's jump right in. Where did the idea for this film come from?
Well, I've always wanted to direct ever since I was in high school, a sophomore in high school. And I had written a number of scripts that I was really excited about, but they were absolutely way far out of the budgetary range for a first-time filmmaker, particularly someone who's Asian American and trans. And so I really felt like what would benefit me is to write a chamber piece between two characters, really sit down, like learn how to direct actors, because I mostly been working in the doc world. And I started like falling in love with the characters as we started writing them. I was like using the script with my co-writer, Kristen Nuno, as a form of art therapy. You know, a lot of those feelings of what does it mean to be a woman in society? What dreams do I have of motherhood still? Trying to find the work-life balance that Naomi struggles with. All those things sort of found their way working into the script, and then, you know, before you know it, the characters were alive and I fell in love with them. And then you feel really awful when you ruin their lives, you know, but you have to for dramatic sake, you know?
So that leads right into my next question. Are the stories and anecdotes in the film real ones?
Some of them are real and some of them are designed for the characters. In particular, Chris's first monologue, where she really opens up about those struggles coming to terms with her identity. So much of that was honestly taken from my coming out letter that I originally wrote to my friends and family. So some of that stuff really hits very personally. Some of the plot points that happened later in the story didn't happen to me, but felt like they still fit and resonated with sort of the themes that I was struggling with in my own life.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. So you seem to have held every position on a film set: editor, actor, sound, visual effects, producer, the list goes on. So do you feel this holistic approach to learning film has helped you as a director, and how so?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I think one of the most important things is I think every director should learn how to edit. Because I think, especially when you're on set, you'll know which shots you can cut, which things you can cut around, which things you can extend or shorten. Even to the point where I was actually editing while we were on set at times, just to test some of the shots, make sure everything's syncing up properly. If we were moving to a different location, I wanted to double back and make sure that some of these things were finished. I think what that level of experience that I sort of came into the film with, and then I also gained throughout the film, I think could allow for a director to be able to translate their thoughts easier by actually knowing like what those team members actually need. Yeah. And I think one of the great challenges the directors face is like, they're like, I want the moon. And you're like, okay, but like, the moon's not possible. So what's more realistic, logical way? Can we like, you know, create a fake moon? Can we do all these different things? Yeah. And I think that that having those options already preset in my head allowed me to move a lot faster than sometimes other directors, I think, tend to on set.
That makes sense. So they say a film gets rewritten three times, once during the writing process, once during shooting, and then once during the editing process. Again, you keep touching on my next questions earlier, so I love this. So being the film's writer, director, and editor, do you feel the film has changed from your original vision?
Oh, well, I think it's improved. I think that, you know, sort of throughout the process of writing, Kristen and I would sit down, my co-writer Kristen Nuno and I would sit down and sort of discuss the script. We'd actually like talk it out, which I hate. I hate hearing my own voice. It's like my absolute kryptonite. Which is hilarious because I've been doing interviews and I just keep on hearing, I'm like, oh. But as we were reading it back to each other, she would often play Naomi and I would often play Chris. And she said that she felt like she knew the script was in the right direction when in the final scene that they have together, as we were reading it back and forth, I actually started going off script and like yelling at her angrily about these things that were probably going on in my own life. Yeah. That I was like transplanting onto the character. And she said, once we got to that place, she felt like, okay, now we can actually start bringing it out to the cast, to these amazing, two amazing actors that we have, Lynn and Puya. And And then they took it and they evolved into this whole other thing. I mean, especially one of the moments I always talk about is the bar scene with Lynn. She just brought a whole new level of humor and pathos and beauty to those lines that didn't even exist on the page. Mm-hmm. And then once we got into the editing process, it was just a never settling sort of process where we were like, okay, like, how can we refine these? What lines are repeated? How can we cut these? Can we take this part of the line and shift it over to the scene to make sure that we like deliver the right emotional impact? Mm-hmm. And so it was a lot of workshopping, a lot of rewriting. And I think writing's rewriting and filmmaking's and editing's rewriting. And you're never really fully finished, you know? Yeah. It's a beautiful process to come through those different things. And then at a certain point, the film just sort of becomes its own thing. And it's like letting a child go off to college. And you're like, are you going to be okay? Are you going to be all right? And they're like, yeah, I'm fine. Like, whatever. Like, you've spent enough time on me. I'm on my own now. I'm off doing my own thing. And you have to let it be. But that process of translation between those different voices and those different groups of people, that's what makes a film a film, you know? Mm-hmm.
Amazing. So how was working with cinematographer Jordan T. Parrott?
Yeah, well, Jordan and I have known each other for a very long time. We were roommates sophomore year in college. And Jordan shot the majority of my doc stuff and some of my other shorts. So we really have an absolute shorthand. Most of the time I'm like, okay, I have this like shot list. I'm super excited. Like we storyboarded out these things. And he's like, I don't even see any of that. I know what's going on in your brain. Don't worry about it. And then he'll go and set up the thing. And it'll be exactly what I had always sort of hoped and dreamed it would be. I think one of the great joys that comes with doing your first film, if you're able to do it, is more often than not, you're surrounded by community and people that you really love and care about. And for Jordan to be on set, our creative consultant, script supervisor, Jason Morgan, was also our roommate. In college, my parents were on set as executive producers. Like my cousin came out to cameo in the movie. Like my neighbor, who was like my second mom, came down to be Nana in the role. And so all those things, it really created this like very organic, fluid process for me to be able to communicate exactly what I needed and for everybody to kind of understand my language already and be able to sort of put it into place.
That's amazing. That's so great to have family on set too. I bet that's such an amazing atmosphere.
It's heaven. Absolute heaven.
So what was your favorite scene to shoot?
I think the bar scene was probably my favorite. It was a really challenging day because we that whole week we were doing 3 a.m. to 3 p.m. shoots. And overnight tends to be from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. And that's hard enough as it is. But when you really start getting into that middle period, it's like that's when everybody starts getting a little weird because there's just, you never get enough sleep on either side of that time. So everybody was really punchy on set and just kind of goofy. And I think that really lent itself so well to that passage in the film where we're really allowing the characters to relax and be themselves and fall into these like patterns of conversation that feel very light and fun. So that was definitely the most fun for me on set. Definitely the most challenging was the last scene where it felt like a part of my soul was being ripped out from my body and placed onto the screen. But that in itself had its own rewards too, you know?
Wow. So what do you want audiences to take away from this film?
I hope that what we endeavored to do with the film is to present a certain level of universality, that even though, you know, one of the characters is an Asian American woman, the other character is an Iranian American trans woman, that these challenges that they're facing within the story are not focused exclusively on those communities, but can be understood by everybody. Mm-hmm. That feeling of guilt over something that you did or said to somebody long ago still resonating, or those choices that you made long ago that seem to echo into your current life. I think these are all things that anybody could relate to. And my hope is that by taking a walk for a mile in these other characters' shoes, that they could gain a greater understanding and appreciation for the fact that we all might be different, but we're all in the end, we're all the same. And we're just people, and we're just trying to like make it, and we're trying to survive. We're trying to find happiness. And I certainly hope for the Asian American community and the trans community that we could inspire them and inspire future filmmakers, because I think that we're like facing a time right now where I think we're gonna see an explosion of queer content, like Asian American content, people of color, Black filmmakers. It's gonna be incredible what's gonna be happening in the future. And I just am so honored to be a part of that that movement.
Absolutely. So which films or directors have influenced you as a filmmaker, but also the films See You Then?
Well, definitely for See You Then, My Dinner with Andre was a huge influence. The Before series, Before Sunset, Before Midnight. We have a few little nods within the film to some of these films as well. I think one of the other things that we were really hoping to do with the film was embrace formalism in film and like really like work with those like the big canvas of large format filmmaking to tell this very intimate story. And so, you know, I was very inspired by films like Brief Encounters by David Lean, and some of the older sort of styles of stories, but really trying to take that format and bring it into like more of a subversive version by introducing these characters that aren't, you know, focused on, that aren't celebrated in those stories, and bringing it into this new format. Personally, oh gosh, there's so many, but they kind of range. They range from like In the Mood for Love to Jurassic Park to Singing in the Rain to Schindler's List to Black Panther to Finding Nemo. You know, it's everything. Every film I think has the ability to move and affect me. And I'm inspired by all of it. I'm inspired by all these people who go out and like have the courage to tell these stories. Like, it's crazy. It's amazing.
It really is.
It really is.
So amazing. So what are you currently working on? Are there any new projects that we should be looking out for?
There's a few. There's a young adult trans love story that I'm working on. There's a horror movie that's also trans related that I'm working on. And then I have other things like bigger scripts that I'm hoping to get out into the world that are totally just out there, bonkers. I have a script called Moonbody, which is about an astronaut named Derek Moonbody whose dreams of going to the moon are thwarted by the fact that he's a werewolf. So it's like a big grand scope comedy. It's very silly and huge. It takes place in Florida. It's insane. So I hope that I will get the opportunity to tell stories on all different types of canvases and all different types of scopes.
Awesome. So we'll definitely be looking out for those. Thank you so much for your time today, Mari. It's been awesome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.